Blog Talk Radio.
Because the Cherokees was not always there, so they were called Anindiga, which meant we the people. And all the tribes started naming themselves, like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we the people, because that was the first line of the Iroquois Constitution. So when the Constitution was set up here as a remembrance of who they are, most of the Native Americans in their own dialect named the tribe we the people. As a group, because we all had to unite to survive.
And attesting to this fact, Congress passed House Resolution 331, the Iroquois Confederation established the United States Constitution.
What they don't mention is that there were already people here, there was black people already in America, which are the parents of all those people from different parts of Africa.
So most of us were shipped from America to Africa and Europe, contrary to popular belief.
Indigenous people of this land, the Chinese came in, mixed in with them, and produced what you're calling Native Americans today or Indians. And the Caucasian gave them all our rights.
Right.
Now they're walking around saying Cherokee, Choctaw, Seneca, Cheyenne, and we're walking around saying African, African, African.
Do you want to claim one part or the whole thing, Khalid Muhammad?
We got to go up against the world and tell them who the hell we are and stop letting them tell us who we are. They didn't change who we are in the last 100 years, 5 different times. We were nigger, Negro, Afro-American, now African-American.
We have invented the nigger. I didn't invent him. White people invented him.
And as long as you keep saying you're Negroes and accept organizations like the NAACP, you will never have rights to what is rightfully yours. You with me? But the moment you start saying, I am an indigenous person, sovereign, I belong to a sovereign nation, they can't do jack with it. Because they have admitted in their textbooks that they came to America, and when they got here, people were already here. And all you're saying to them is, correct, I am of the people that was already here when you got here.
You know, in Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of radio station WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6. Never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's black power. Right here.
Don't send me no other place, I don't know nothing. Talk about my home, just give me some Georgia, some Alabama, some Mississippi, some New York, and some California, Texas, and some North Carolina, some South Carolina, and Virginia, some Illinois, and some West Virginia, some Dakota, South Dakota, North Dakota. I can't name all the different places now. If I leave anybody out, don't get mad, because I just, you know, just a cat trying to keep it going. Some Ohio, too, yeah. Some Indiana, Michigan. Yeah, I'm coming from the good Kentucky, Tennessee. Yeah. I'm getting it together, you know. Just give me a little time.
100 years later, the Negro is still languishing in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. Now, have you ever wondered what that passage meant from Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech? I did, and what I found was one of the biggest secrets that's not really a secret at all, except to many African Americans, is they are not descended from Africans. I know, I was shocked too, so much so that I asked Africans, and they agreed African Americans weren't Africans. If you don't believe me, Google Arnaldus Montanus America and see the people he saw in 1671. Read books like The Black American Handbook for Survival Through the 21st Century by Radine Amin-Ra, What Every African American Should Know by Cary Davis, and Africans and Native Americans by Jack Forbes. I just can't believe schools aren't teaching this stuff. What a travesty.
Greetings, this is L. Ross Smith Bay, and you are tuned in live to another episode of Indigenous Agriculture, Part 10 on our Talk Times of America Network. I'd like to thank all my listeners for tuning in, as always. I'd like to thank the ancestors for allowing me to use this platform and give out some information to my people and to the world.
Tonight, you know, we didn't have a show last night, so this is just a continuation from Friday night's show, which was, again, dealing with implementing and utilizing indigenous agricultural methods, okay, that were practiced and that had been very successful in cultivating the use of the land. And tonight, just like the previous show, I have my co-host with me, okay, and basically the rules are the same as the previous show. You know, I'm going to have a 10-minute break. I mean, I'm going to go 10 minutes in. That's going to be a Q&A when I have a break for talking. So we can get a little Q&A in. So if y'all want to call in, feel free. That's a Q&A in 10 minutes. And then the other 10 minutes, or 8 minutes rather, will be applied again to another Q&A session. Okay. And again, she's also with me, co-host and moderator, so, you know, she's going to ask questions, make comments. She's in the background listening, okay? And now tonight, I want to deal with some of the indigenous foods that are found here, that originated here, okay, and that have been domesticated and transplanted throughout the world, okay? And I'm going to start by reading what food today that were originally developed by indigenous American plants, okay? You know, I'm going to start with the first one, which is maize or corn. Second is squash, you know, the pumpkin, zucchini, marrow, acorn squash, butternut squash, the others. Okay. And then the beans. And there's many varieties of beans as well. Also, these, I'm going to give you a list of some of the indigenous American foods that are used globally, okay, that are now have once originated from America, have now been taken throughout the world and been established on other land masses as a food staple. Okay. For instance, the tomato, the potato, the camote or sweet potato, okay, cocoa beans or cocoa beans, vanilla, okay, black raspberry, strawberry, pineapple, cassava, or manioc, or, you know, some people say yuca. And this is, let me give you some people may have heard of tapioca. Tapioca is created from cassava or yuca, Now, if you didn't know where tapioca comes from, now you know. Indigenous American plant. Okay. Again, the list goes on. Peppers. You know what I'm saying? Species and varieties include all the bell peppers, jalapenos, paprika, chili peppers, etc. Allspice. And here's a couple of foods were from indigenous plants that they took. The jicama. If you don't know what jicama is, that's a very great fruit or root plant to eat. And you can make a great jicama, avocado salad, papaya, guayaba, or guava, okay, quinoa, zapote, mamey, Mexican oregano, Jerusalem artichoke, okay, stevia, right, and yerba buena. And then last, indigenous Native American, they call them Native American on the site, indigenous American protein source. And they tell you right here, indigenous American protein sources, sunflower seeds, pecans, spirulina. So this is what is what we actually been doing that a lot of the world has copied or think is like new, dealing with a holistic lifestyle and medicine. You know, we have practiced for thousands of years before it was made popular. You know, we were eating right. We were eating from the land, because we were in tune with nature. So, yeah. That was just a little list of the indigenous food.
I have a question about corn.
Oh, go ahead.
I was reading in a study that corn is now like a GMO product, and I was wondering, like, how did that happen, and how do we make sure that we're not eating the wrong corn?
That's a good question. Well, the corn today in the supermarkets or just a grocery store, that is most 98%, if I remember correctly, of the corn is genetically modified. Because the corn is actually much smaller than what the corn we actually see today. The original corn that hasn't been genetically modified is a lot smaller. I don't know if you ever had, you know, you've been to Chinese restaurants and they have like the miniature corn.
Like, yeah. Really
small. Yeah, corn. That's an act. The non-genetically modified corn. That's how it looks, those mini corn. I can't recall the name for this, but that miniature variety of corn. And they're really small. They're like a thumb size. And to distinguish, so that's how you can kind of distinguish the genetically modified from the original corn.
Okay.
A lot smaller. Like I said, the kernels aren't as big. They're not like, and they're actually a whole other color. Well, they're actually more, I don't know if you heard of blue corn and red corn, you know. But that's how you kind of tell if it's genetically modified. If it's all uniform, you know, that trademark yellow, then most likely 9 times out of 10 is GMO.
Oh, okay. Is it possible for us to grow, like, blue corn on our own?
That's a good question. Yeah. You may have to go. We have to go find out where the seed is being produced. Is it actually from a Monsanto-owned seed company? Because if it is, then it's going to be GMO. And, yes, you can actually grow that
blue corn and red corn, and, you know, other varieties of the indigenous corn in America. Yeah, it's not hard.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. And I guess I'll continue reading. It said down the stage, ceremonial intelligence. Okay. Tobacco, leaves smoked in pipes. Guino, if I'm saying that right, test guino is a fermented corn drink. Ockley, fermented beverage made from agave cactus. Peyote, a hallucinogenic cactus used in religious ceremonies. Psychedelic mushrooms, a hallucinogenic mushroom used in religious ceremony. Coca, leaves chewed for energy and medicinal use. Yerba mate, you know, you may have heard of that. Popular in, on the tea market. And it's used to make a hot infusion or beverage for both medicinal and religious purposes. Right. That was, again, a little list of indigenous foods and protein sources and drinks, right? Or what is called an entheogen. And then provide clarification on what an entheogen is. Let me read you the definition. It says, an entheogen is a chemical substance, technically a plant origin, that is ingested to produce a non-ordinary state of consciousness for religious or spiritual purposes. Okay? So again, like, all of these herbs, all of these medicinals were not used as some type of for pleasure, you know, or just to make money off of. It was actually a purpose, okay? A spiritual purpose, like I said, a medicinal purpose, right? A religious purpose, okay? And now, you know, we can go into Q&A. If y'all have any questions, you can call in now. Regarding indigenous plants, what you may have learned, what you already knew, any comments or questions, feel free to call in. And, you know, if you have any questions, and if the co-host has any questions or comments, you know.
Yeah, I actually did. I wanted to ask about, like, growing outside, how did the chemtrails affect our gardens, and, like, how can we protect them against that?
That's a great question. Great question. Okay, well, see, I had actually asked that same question at a, it was a community garden class. And it was a workshop, actually. And I asked the same question. Okay. And the teacher who was for that class was saying that guard or the best protection against chemtrails was, you know, a greenhouse or a hoop house, and also having or maintaining and building your soil correctly. So if you have poor soil health, it's going to also aid in, you know, chemtrails is going to aid in the destruction of the plant, basically. So, like, if you don't have good soil versus being having good soil, your plants will be healthier, with even if chemtrails
happen to land upon that plant or go into the root system, the soil will kind of actually, it'll be like a block because it's so healthy, and it can kind of, it won't intake certain chemicals because it's stronger, if you know what I'm saying, on a biological level.
It's like it's like a built-in from the you know, the chemicals inside the trails or whatever.
Right. But, yeah, that's the best bet is honestly just to cover them, okay, with either a greenhouse or a hoop house. That's very efficient.
So when you say greenhouse, like somebody like me, I'm on a budget. Is a hoop house like the less expensive alternative to a greenhouse?
Yeah, it's kind of it's not a downgrade. It's more of just a better, it's an alternative to greenhouses, and they're a little bit more flexible, you know, no pun intended. But it's yeah, it's made of mainly either a plastic or a gardening cloth. So it's actually, yeah, it's going to be a lot less expensive than an actual greenhouse because it's also portable. Well, most of the hoop houses are portable, and they're mainly made of cloth. It's called gardening cloth. And, you know, it kind of blocks out a lot of the chemtrails itself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and allows sunlight, you know, to come through and air to move through it, but it still blocks a lot of the chemtrails. So, yeah, that's great.
So as far as being the, you know, like the seeds and the foods that are indigenous to America, did they take, like, did people come in, like, take the seeds and the techniques and then just take it, you know, like, worldwide, like you were saying, and that's how all of our, you know, produce became, you know, basically everywhere?
Yeah. Yeah, many times it happened like that, and it also happened, you know, through trading, ancient trading, you know, prior to, like, any foreigner. And it also happened, you know, through, like you said, when they first came over here or when they started exploring and they took what they saw and they liked and they just saw how well it was doing here and introduced it to their own country and, you know, expanded it everywhere else. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know.
And I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in to another episode of Indigenous Agriculture. I'll be on tomorrow at 10:05 p.m. Pacific Time Zone. That being said, your identity is your most valuable possession because without it, you are no one. Why Nation? And we're going into overtime. We're going to 5 minutes overtime, you know, just because I started late, so I want to just make up for that time and just read a little bit from the site that I have. And if you know a little bit about indigenous agriculture dealing with Americans, you know, the ancient Americans, you know, there's something called the gardening technique that we created. It's called Three Sisters, and it's basically, like I said, what is it? Technique is called the Three Sisters, okay? And it's modernly now known as companion planting, okay, where two plants, okay, have like a symbiotic relationship where they benefit each other, okay? Okay, and this cycle. And the Three Sisters, if you are not aware, this gardening technique that was created by the indigenous Americans is the growing of squash. That's the first sister. Corn, that's the second sister. And bean, that's the third sister. And again, like I said, it's modernly now called companion planting, where plants benefit each other in a symbiotic relationship, okay? And for example, if you have the squash, corn, and the beans like we did back in the ancient times, what you will see is the beans or any type of bean or pea or legumes produces nitrogen in its root system, okay? And nitrogen is basically fertilizer, okay, for plants. Plants thrive off of nitrogen. That's why it's the first element within commercial chemicalized fertilizers, NPK, nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus. But nitrogen is that one element that really gives your plant roots a boost and really makes them take root and take off to more vigorous and, stronger growing plants. Okay. So, like I said, the beans, once they start to take root, they begin to produce nitrogen. Corn, very strong, rigorous growing plant. They latch on to that nitrogen that the beans provide, and they shoot up. Okay. Beans begin to wrap around and vertically climb there and use their tendrils to climb up that corn that is now just provided a trellis for them to climb up. Squash, it can also do the same thing, climb up, or it also provide a ground cover for the corn, okay? And it's also providing a ground cover for the beans and utilizing that nitrogen that's present within the soil that's created by the beans. So again, it's a symbiotic relationship that is created and what is now modernly known as companion planting. I just wanted to share that really quickly. And no, any questions, co-host, or comments?
I'd just like to thank you for having me on tonight. I really enjoyed the show and being a part of it.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I'm glad you came on with me. I hope you're on with me the next show as well. That was really great. You had some really great questions and comments.
Yes, most definitely. I'd love to be on the next show, and I would definitely like to thank the ancestors for this platform that you're on and allowing me to participate in it as well.
Okay. Fantastic. So, yes, it'll be okay if you're not able to make it on certain days. And tonight was a successful show. And like I said, we're in overtime, so no one will be able to call in. But anyway, I would like to thank them regardless for tuning in, whoever listening to the show. Don't forget to hit that follow button, you know what I'm saying, so you can be notified and alerted in case I might do an episode earlier or later. You can have that notification. And with that being said, your identity is your most valuable possession, because without it, you are no one. Wanishi.
In Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of radio station WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6. Never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's Black Power. Right here.
Don't send me no other place, I don't know nothing. Talk about my home, just give me some Georgia, some Alabama, some Mississippi, some New York, and some California, Texas, and some North Carolina, and some South Carolina, and Virginia, some Illinois, and some West Virginia, some Dakota, South Dakota, North Dakota. See, I can't name all the different places now. If I leave anybody out, don't get mad, because I just, you know, just a cat trying to keep it going. Some Ohio, too, yeah. Some Indiana, Michigan. Yeah, I'm coming pretty good. Kentucky, Tennessee. Yeah, I'm getting it together, you know. Just give me a little time.